thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
This is our declaration. If you're new to Destiny Church, we say this every Sunday. This is every year God gives us a declaration. And everything that we do, small groups, teachings, kids ministry, everything is born out of this declaration for this year, all right? And so let's say it together like we mean it. God created me for community, and every contact has the potential for positive impact. Every contact with people that you make in life, you have the potential of making some kind of positive impact. Now, that is what we call those every contacts, because sometimes you may only make a contact one time, you never see those people again. How many people have you met before? You just met them one time, but something profound happened in that moment. Those are many legacies. That's what that is. That you left a legacy, a mini legacy, with that person. And I've met people, it's like some people, I don't even remember their name. This church is a product of the time frame. It was a mini time frame that it happened where there was a prophetic moment, prophetic word, a prophetic encounter, but it was mega in the scope of the prophetic. And I met this lady. I was taking a group of teenagers to Six Flags. We're a spiritual event, you know. We were going to Six Flags. It was my last trip with Locksley Church of God where I was the youth pastor at. And so we pull off in LaGrange, Georgia. I show this a lot of times at, were you on that trip? Oh, cool. Well, he's one of my old youth group members. But anyway, we pulled off in LaGrange, Georgia, and the church had just gotten this new bus. We didn't have any lettering on it, nothing like that. And this lady, I'm pumping gas. All the kids are getting drinks and pee breaks and stuff like that, you know. And I'm pumping gas, and this lady comes up, and she says, "Hey there." You know, she's just country as all get out, and I'll get out, like I'm not country. But she says, "Hey there." And I said, "Hey, how are you?" And she said, "Well, this is going to sound really strange, but the Lord just told me to come by and invite you to church." And she said, "And I know you're probably not even from here. You're probably on your way somewhere. I see that you're probably a coach. It looks like you might have a team of kids going to some sport event." And I'm like, "Do I look like a coach?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm a youth pastor." And she said, "Well, my husband pastors LaGrange Church of God right around the corner. It's just on the other side of the railroad tracks." And I said, "Well, I'm a youth pastor in the Church of God." And I said, "Wow." And she said, "I just wanted to be obedient to the Lord because I specifically heard him to say, come invite you and your group to church." And she said, "I don't even know where you're going." And I told her, "I'm going to Atlanta." And I said, "We normally stay over and we go to church somewhere there. I try to give the kids another experience besides South Alabama. You know, we need to get out of our own shell every now and then, go see other things and see other Christians worship and that kind of thing." But I said, "We'll just get on back here. It's about an hour from Atlanta. We'll just come back here." And so that morning, they were looking for us. And that church was a little old bitty church, but man, it was jam-packed and popping. It was, the music was going. They had somebody waiting for us, and we pulled in their parking lot, and they said, "You're the youth pastor that I can't remember her name off the top of my head. Anyway, not important. That pastor's wife invited us." I said, "Yes, sir." "How many you got?" "And I don't know, there's 30 or so of us." And we went in, they reserved a section of the church off for us. And, you know, I'm just tired. I'm irritated with kids. I had them up to here, you know, just ready to get these wild, you know, Wolverines back home. And so I wasn't in the most spiritual of moods. Here's a lesson. You do not have to be in a spiritual mood You don't even have to be in the right mind space for God to do something in your life in a moment where you are, that he will change your life. He changed my life, and you didn't know it, but he changed yours too, because you're here because of that. And so anyway, we're in that service, and I'm like, my God, will he ever shut up? Do y'all ever feel that way about me? Don't answer. And I'm like, I just really wanted it to be over. And he preached some message. I know it was about eagles, and that's about it. And I really wasn't into it. How many sermons have I heard on eagles before? And, you know, ooh, they soar, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's like, man, he's closing out. And I'm thinking, oh, thank God, I'm just ready to get home. We've got another 3 hours. So he says at the very end, I mean, it looks like we're fixing to go. And he said, I mean, I'm glad we didn't sneak out early. But he says, is that youth pastor still here? And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to go down front. And I knew, I mean, this is my gig. You know what I'm saying? This is my calling. I know how this goes. I operate like this. And I know what's fixing to go down. I'm like, he's fixing to ask me to come down in front of the church and testify or something. I don't know, but I don't feel that today. I'm just not into it. And so I start down the aisle, and we actually have video of this. And I start down the aisle, and I'm looking like this. Like, I look like a whipped puppy just walking. And he says, he gives me this boost of energy, and he says, is your wife with you? And I'm like, oh, yes, she is. I don't have to go alone. And I turned around, and I motioned for her. And so we go down to the front of the church, and he begins to pray over us. And, you know, it's just bear with me. None of this is how it really was. This is how my mind perceived it. This is a powerful, life-changing, kairos moment with a rhema word. For those of you who don't know, kairos is a God-ordained moment in time for you. Rhema is the word, but it applies to you right now, specifically in this situation, that kairos moment. I wasn't feeling any of that. And he's praying, and I'm hearing him, and he's going on, wah, 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 wah. And it's like, you know, it's just that generic prayer stuff. The Lord's going to bless you. The Lord's going to bless you. Now understand, because if you're not listening and you got your religious ears on, all of what I'm saying will offend you, and you will think that this is how it is. No, that's where my mindset was. I was tired. I was irritated. I was ready to go home, give that prophetic word to somebody else. Thank God. You know, you can be obedient reluctantly. Y'all know. You can be obedient reluctantly. So I was reluctantly obedient, and I'm glad I was. I'm glad I honored God at least enough in that moment. And as Holy Spirit is speaking to me, as Holy Spirit is speaking to Shay, something in the prayer shifts. And then he says, he gives his prophetic word, and he says, in 10 years, God is going to open a door for you. It's going to be a door that's open specifically for you. Well, to a young man, I was 39 years old. That was young. To a 39-year-old, you might as well, in 80 years, God's going to deliver a word to you. Because 10 years, that's a long time. I'm like, give me 10 months, you know? And I'm trying to process this, because here's how I am. Hey, Kat, don't be getting up in front of me trying to spew some prophetic garbledygook. I believe in the prophetic. It is true. And when you begin to speak prophetically, I'm going to hold you to that word. I'm testing that word against the word. I'm drinking it in. I'm holding on to it. And what I'm doing is I'm listening to him now. He's got my attention now. And so he's speaking prophetically, and he says, in 10 years, oh, you could have stayed over here in generic land, but all of a sudden you done got specific. You done put a date on it. There's an expiration on it. Now it just got real. The prophetic just went up a whole nother level. We see in part and we know in part, but he knows a little more of the part. And he begins to tell me that in 10 years, God is going to open an opportunity for us to pastor a church. It's going to be a church that no one else has pastored before. It's going to be a church that basically is birthed out of us. And man, that gets me excited. It got me a little bit confused too, because this is what he said. He said, stay where you are. Well, it's my last trip with that church. I'm fixing a move to Atlanta. So immediately I begin to think like, oh my God, have I made a mistake? Am I not supposed to go to Atlanta? Because I thought I heard God say, go to Atlanta. Did I miss God? You follow me? I'm just giving y'all a lot of life experience here to how to discern the word of God. Well, I know I heard God say go to Atlanta, but this guy's telling me to stay where I am. And now I'm a little bit confused, but I know God's not the author of confusion. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to play this out. I'm just going to discern it. I'm just not going to act rashly or anything. And so as God tells me to stay where I am, then he says, don't turn to the right or left. And he begins to, I'm still confused after the prophetic word. I'm still confused. I get on the bus, I'm confused. I move away for months, I'm confused. I still don't know what parts of these things mean. This is what I've learned to do from Mary, the mother of Christ. This is what I've learned to do through her witness to me through the scriptures. I just hear the Lord, I don't know what that means, and I ponder them in my heart. I don't know what that means. I'm just going to hold on to it, and I'm just going to see what God do with it. You know what I'm saying? This is where I was. And over the next 10 years, I'm telling you, Shay and I got that prophetic word. We transcribed it. We wrote it out for a while. I think we even had it on our refrigerator or something. We would read it. And there would be certain times, like 10 years, that's a decade, man. There would be times in our life where we're like, surely that wasn't God. Surely we missed it. We would drag out the prophetic word and we would read it again. And it would encourage us again. I believe we maybe even had conversations like, do you believe this is accurate? Do you really believe that this is God? And we would hold on to it. We would hold on to it. We would hold on to it. So to shorten this story just a little bit, here we are today. We are here today, 17 years later, almost last Sunday, or wait, was it last Sunday? That was our authentic original year anniversary. So we're going to celebrate it in a few weeks. But 17 years, here we are. And listen, that was a life-changing moment for me. It was a life-changing moment for Shay. It was a life-changing moment for some of our friends who were there, for the young people that were there. It was a life-changing moment for you, and you didn't even know it happened. Like, you are riding on the legacy that God has already laid in other time periods. You're riding on that. Amen? So as we talk about legacy today, get me back to wherever we were in the message. As we talk about legacy in this series, it's really about making my life matter, because we're all going to create a legacy and we're all going to leave a legacy. And right here in this room, that prophetic word that happened, we are living out the legacy of what God spoke. God will speak things in your life, and if you'll be patient with him, and if you'll wait on him, and if you'll work with him. There are many times during that 10 years that I had opportunities to fulfill some of my life dreams, and I didn't do it because that's not the legacy. I wasn't planning on telling you this, but I'm up front, and I can say what I want to. I want to just tell you this for a second. So in that time, I had this dream. There was an amazing preacher, pastor. He had been in the church there in Birmingham at Metropolitan Church of God for, I don't know, it's something like 27 years. Those guys have always been my heroes. I did not want to be the pastor that I go to this church for a year and a half, and I jump to the next church for 3 years, and then I jump to another church for 10 months, and then I jump to another church for 4 years, and then I jump to another church for 2.5. I never wanted to be like that. I'm like, I saw these guys like, you won't know these names. Very few of you will. I saw these guys like Loran Livingston, who still pastors his church in Central, in Charlotte, and he's been there like 30 plus years. Paul Laverne Walker pastored Mount Perrin Church of God for 27, 28 years. All these guys who are lengthy tenured in their pastors, and they love their people, and their people love them. And they went through hell with their people because the enemy is going to fight. See, everybody thinks that, I'm just telling you, a church that never has any struggles or whatever ain't doing anything for God. And all I know, we must be doing something for God because we've had some hell to pay. You know what I'm saying? We've had some, the enemy has fought us throughout the years. But I will tell you this. I would look at those guys and I wanted to emulate them and I wanted to live a legacy that I saw them leaving. And while I was in Atlanta, I was just into it about 2 years. And guess what? Church reached out to me and asked little old me, some little kid from Greenville, Mississippi that nobody knows but God knows, reached out to me and said, we'd love to know if you would come to Birmingham and be on staff at our church. Are you kidding me? My dream pastor, dream church, everything. It's just dreamy, dreamy, all over dreamy. And then I thought of my church, who coincidentally was named Metropolitan Church of God in Atlanta. So there were two Metropolitans. And I'm like, maybe I heard God wrong. Maybe he meant Metropolitan in Birmingham, and I messed up, and I'm in Metropolitan in Atlanta. And this is what I thought. I said, man, it's not the time. It's not the time. Now, I don't mean this arrogantly, but we're building something. We're building a foundation. I hadn't built any replacements. I haven't built any number twos. And I'm like, if I were to leave this church right now, it would devastate the ministry that I oversee. And I'm not going to do that to these people. I love these people. I'm not going to do that to them. And I said, no, I can't do it. I said, I'm really sorry. And so I went and told Shay and I cried, you know, not literally, but I just whined a little bit about it. And I'm like, man, the timing just is not right. It's not right. And I just can't do that to this church. Why? Because I didn't want to leave that kind of legacy. I didn't want to leave that legacy. You know, 2 years later, all right, 2 years later, guess who I get a call from? That same church. And they're like, hey, we know that you didn't feel like it was the right time. And I don't even know what was going on in our church, but there was a lot going on. Like the church was just doing a lot of big things and stuff that I was overseeing a lot of the, I had transferred from the children and Christian education minister to, I was now the executive pastor there. And so I was doing a lot of the business work and we were looking at building a church, all that. It was crazy. And so they call me and they're like, we'd love to know. We know you said no the first time, but we really want you to come. And I said, man, I can't. I said, I can't. I cannot leave in the middle of this. It would devastate. It would set back what we're doing. I didn't want to leave that legacy where I was because that ministry mattered to me than fulfilling my dream. And so I hung the phone up. I am not making this up or exaggerating. I remember exactly where our little house was, a little yellow two-story house on Brushy Creek Drive. And I was in my office upstairs. I walked down to the end of the hall to the toilet, and I just knelt down at the toilet, and I threw up. I was so sick. It literally made me nauseous physically because I know they won't call back. They won't call back this time. I didn't want to leave that kind of legacy. See, God will use us if we partner with them. If I would have taken them up on that, could God have still used me? Absolutely. I just don't believe that I would be where I am today if I had operated outside of God's will. So I want you to think about legacy. I want you to think about moments that you have. I want to think about moments that you've had and how it is affecting you, your life, your legacy. And so in just a few minutes, we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. Give me a second to find it myself. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll get there. And in this series in legacy, let me just define legacy for you. So we're all working on the same definition. We're all thinking about it in the same context. So here it is. Legacy is the lasting impact of particular past events or actions of a person's life on another. Look at it on the screen. drink it in for a moment. So what is your legacy? What is a legacy? It's a lasting impact. Remember our whole declaration about impact and influence? Like, God created us for influence and impact. Like, it's our lasting impact of particular past events or things that happen in our life, events maybe, of our life, something that we did that is going to impact somebody later. And then there are people that they had an impact on you and you're a recipient of their legacy. Something they did that impacted you in such a powerful way that it now impacts you. Now, I want you to bear with me for a few minutes because I'm kind of on and off script at the same time. My family's here. I'll embarrass them in private a lot, but I don't typically want to embarrass them publicly. So this is all good stuff. This is all good stuff, okay? So Shay's mom's here, her beautiful sister, who I tried to date, but she turned me down. And then Corey, our nephew. Shay's mom has made such a lasting impact on me because she gave me my first opportunity to ever sing worship-wise in church. And when she did, I remember I was just a little kid, and I thought, she's crazy. I can't sing. I think I even told her, I can't sing. That day, we were supposed to meet for the little youth ensemble of about, what, 8, 10 kids? And I'm like, I was so sick to my stomach, and I was like, I was thinking about calling and lying to her and telling her I was not coming because of whatever, whatever. But something inside of me craved what she gave me. She recognized, she was calling the gold out in me. I don't know how she even knew that. I didn't know I could sing, but she noticed something. She also gave me a love for teaching. I remember, Patricia, when we met in East Greenville Church of God, that little hallway back there is the first door on your left, I think, maybe the second door on your left. We would go in there, and there were no bells, dings, and whistles, none. It was a brown paneled Sunday school room. And man, she stood at a podium at the front. Now, in the natural, it was boring as all get out. No offense to my mother-in-law, because she's an incredible teacher. But in the natural, that's just not something kids are into. And we sat just straight rows, and I would hear her. See, all of them probably heard it already 100 times. I had never heard of how Paul was killed. I had never heard of how John the Revelator was boiled. And I never heard these things. So it's like, dude, she's teaching this stuff. And I don't know, I probably was cutting up too, but I was drinking that stuff in. I was drinking it in. And she gave me this love for teaching the Word of God. So what am I doing here today in front? Like, I'm living out a legacy that she has created and left for me. And, you know, and I love the fact that I had that in my life. This is, in a shorter version, what a legacy is. A legacy is the imprint that I'll leave on the future. Amen. Like, there are people that have deeply imprinted my life. They've deeply influenced and affected me. You can think of people that have imprinted your life, and you are who you are today. Many of my people who have imprinted me are teachers, are real educators, like teachers that I had. And I can remember my second grade teacher taught me the golden rule. She called it the golden rule, but she didn't say it was scripture. I'm in the second grade. I don't know any scripture because my family didn't go to church until I was 15. But later in life, I found out, oh my gosh, I didn't even know it was a verse of scripture. I was treating a little girl bad in the lunch line. I was yanking her ponytail, and Miss Edwards walked by, and she said, "Now, Rife, you can't do that. You're going to have to go to the coat closet." Well, there's this little coat closet. It was open at the back of our room, and that's where all the naughty kids got to go and sit. I tell you what, that was a carnival for me.
I got to snoop through everything that was back there. The point being, what she drilled into me was, you're supposed to treat other people the way you want to be treated. Do you want her to pull your ponytail? Well, I don't have a ponytail. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Years later, I got saved. Guess who's up front preaching? Pastor Jolly. He's preaching, hey, you were supposed to do unto others as we would have them do to us. Hey, wait a minute. Miss Edwards told me that. Miss Edwards, that sneaky scoundrel. She put scripture. She was imprinting. She was influencing. That had an impact on me. I never forgot that. She didn't tell me where it was found in the Bible or if it was even in the Bible. But that lesson taught me how to treat people. Wasn't always successful at it, but she left a legacy for me. And it might be something simple. It might be a mini legacy. Years later, I was able to worship with her at her church in at First Baptist in Greenville. And I was like, Miss Edwards, I got saved. I got saved. I'm just telling you, those are powerful moments for me. You have your own powerful moments. I want to share with you what I think is the saddest, one of the saddest scriptures in the entire Bible. It's found in Judges 2:10, and it says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiped the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Ashtaroth. Now what's happening here, Joshua led the people with Moses out of Egypt. Moses died, Joshua took over. Moses left a legacy to Joshua. Joshua carried the legacy and continued it out. As they crossed over the River Jordan, you know if you've been around here because I preach this a lot. As they crossed over the River Jordan, what did they do when they got on the other side? Anybody know? Built a memorial. They take those 12 stones and they build them up. And they're like, what are we doing this for? Because every time we pass by this and every time somebody, you've been out somewhere and you've seen some strange structure and it's like, wonder what that is. That's how those kids are going to be. The little Israelite kids would, hey, Dad, what's that? Why are those stones arranged in that matter? So, man, I'm glad you asked. See, God brought us out of bondage, brought us out of Egypt, brought us out of slavery. And you're not going to believe it. God just opened up and we walked through just like the Red Sea on dry ground. We walked through and when we got to the other side, that's what that is. That's a memorial. That's the legacy, son. You didn't have to endure the slavery. You didn't have to. We went through it, but you didn't have to do it. We wanted to build a better life for you. I'm telling you what. There's some honor in that, but there's some devastation in that too. How many of us, we don't want you to be as poor as we were. We don't want you to have to work as hard as we were. And what we end up doing, we end up creating a generation that if we're not careful, they'll abandon God. God did all these amazing things for the Israelite. They get on the other side in Cush land. They're all, you know, living in nice houses. Everything is amazing. They drive out all their enemies and they get wealthy. And they forget to stop telling the stories. Listen, if anybody ever says to you, man, you tell that story all the time, then go into another room. Because somebody needs to hear the story. And if you don't heard it enough to you sick of it, go into another room. Walk away from the conversation. Because somebody needs to hear the story. But I can imagine, man, don't tell that one. Don't tell that one. Don't tell that one about, you know, the Red Sea. Lord, we done heard that one so many times. Somebody hadn't heard it. And then they stopped telling the stories. They stopped telling the memories. They stopped telling, and their legacy begins to die. And all of a sudden, there's a generation that they don't acknowledge God. They don't worship. They don't do any of these things. And they have become backslidden. They have become an apostate nation where they don't acknowledge him. But they start picking up false gods. We were talking about this just the other day. Isn't it funny that people have no problem? Like, for instance, you come into a church like this, it's a full gospel church, something happens, like maybe speaking in tongues and tongues and interpretation, or maybe somebody falling out, you know, just because they're overwhelmed in the power of God's glory. You know, it just overwhelms you. It's like, I don't believe that. That ain't of God, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then they'll watch every demonic show on TV, partner with spirits of fear, and they'll believe all of that stuff, but they won't believe the side of light. They'll embrace the darkness and the reality of that, but they won't embrace the light. It's crazy. These people rejected light and they begin to embrace darkness. And so to me, this is one of the saddest scriptures in portions of scripture. It's like, man, God did all of these amazing things and the latter generations don't know it. Legacy is for latter generations. Legacy is for future. Legacy is for the children. And before, well, that's the next slide. Legacies are left to guide the way for future generations. Yeah. That's what your legacy is for. Listen, you've heard people ask this question, whether it's hypothetical or not. What do you want them to say about you? What do you want your epitaph to say on your headstone? Listen, I don't care what people say about me on my headstone. That doesn't matter. What I want people to remember me for is the good that I did, the help that I was, and the lessons of positivity that they learned. My life's mission, this is my life's mission. My life's mission is to help you be the best version of you. My life's mission is to disciple disciplers. So I want you to be the best version of the best Zuri that Zuri can be. And then Zuri, I want you to go and turn around and help somebody else do that. So the legacy just keeps going on and on and on and on. Now, I posted something on Facebook. And if you would, let me just pull that up because it was powerful. I saw somebody else post it. And I want to just read just this little piece of it in this message. This is super important, especially if you have grandchildren or children. So the youth pastor, this is his perspective. This is his perspective. Youth pastor, yes, absolutely. We'd love to partner with you in discipling your kids and what it means to love and follow Jesus. We meet every Sunday at church at 9 a.m. and then we have Sunday school later. We'll get with them connected with a youth leader who walks with them, and once a month, we'll have a gathering for students with some midweek discipleship things. All right, you follow me? Yeah, we want to partner with you. We have a meeting at church, and then once a month, they'll get with their leader, and they'll have some time together. All right? The parent's response to that is, oh, wow, that's a lot. Let me figure this out. I'm going to have to get back with you. Let me figure it out. Sports coach, theater director, gymnastics leader come to the parents. Wow, your kids show remarkable talent. We'd love to help you. We meet every day for 2 hours, and they can't be late. Also, we need you to invest thousands of dollars in equipment and practice and coaching because the cost of making it isn't cheap. The cost of making it to the big leagues is not cheap. Also, we have practice every night for 9 months and 64 games this season, all day Saturday and Sunday. Your entire family will need to orient your life around this. The parent. That sounds wonderful. We'll be there, and you can count on us. We won't miss a single one. My friend, that is reality. The reason I know is because I have family that has made their life that way. And I'm like, I have had family that They'll travel all over, go to all these different things, and you literally could probably, if you had a good arm, throw a rock and hit the church from where they live. And they will not take their kids to youth. Here's the reality. Do you think they're going to spend a greater, is there a greater probability that they're going to spend eternity somewhere, or they're going to make the big leagues? Now, they may make the big leagues, and praise God if they do, but I can guarantee you they're going to spend somewhere for an eternity. And you can have both. It's not an either-or thing. Shay and I, when we had our kids, we had this dilemma. And Noah came to us, and he's like, well, they're having this, the practices are, I don't know if they were shifting to Wednesday night or if they're going to be Wednesday night. This is what he said. He said, I guess I can't be a part of this, and, you know, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to go sit down with your coach, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to see if we can come to a win-win. But we are not walking in there with a win-lose. The coach is going to win, and we're going to lose. And so we walked in. I was so proud of him, and he had the conversation himself. And so he and his coach, I'm just there to talk it through. And we came to this conclusion that he would spend one Wednesday night at gym and he would spend another Wednesday night at church, and they would alternate them. And I'm good with that. I was good with that. But here's the reality. Man, we have got to invest in our next generation. I mean, I'm telling you, the church, not just our church, the church in general, mega churches. I know pastors that pastor churches smaller than me and much larger than me, and they all are saying the same thing. Where are the youth? Where are the young people? I'm telling you, we need to pray for our young people. We need to invest in the next generation. We need to point towards them. And of course, in a few weeks, Pastor Wesley and I have some really cool stuff that we want to share with you about some things that we want to do for young single adults. But say this with me. Legacies are left to guide the way for future generations. All right. So I want to read here just a little bit out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then I'm going to dive into a few points to help us, and then Amy, I'll have you come right after that. Verse 1, chapter 3. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are kind. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and they have a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. And so he goes on to say, but you, Timothy, you certainly know, listen to this, he's saying, you, Timothy, you know what I teach, and you know how I live, and what my purpose in this life is. You know my faith, you know my patience, you know my love and my endurance, you know how much persecution and suffering I've endured, you know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Listen, how do you think he knew all of this? Paul's telling him, man, what is he doing? He's laying down the stories, man. Man, you ain't going to believe this time that I was shipwrecked. He's telling him the stories. He's laying down a legacy for him. He's showing Timothy how to endure persecution.
And so he says in verse 12, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. He's telling him something he doesn't want to hear. Like, Timothy, if you're going to pastor this church here at Ephesus, if you're going to be successful here, you're going to have to endure persecution. I mean, those are some rascals over there in Ephesus. I mean, it's a raunchy place to live. And he put this young pastor there. And what he's telling him is like, listen, so this is what I went through. This is how I was persecuted. This is how I was got, you know, felt like. So Timothy, look at my life, look at where I am right now, so that when you get there, you'll know that you can be where I am later. Yeah. Are you following me? Yeah. He's just giving him a role model. He's just giving him, laying it down for him. And then verse 13 says, but evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes in trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong with our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Man, He's laying down some foundational stuff here. He's saying, listen, when you get in trouble, look at my life. Look at my life. Look at what happened to me. Look how I handled it. Are y'all following me? I could say that. You could say that. I could say, man, I'm telling you, I've been through some storms. How did I handle it? I haven't handled everything great, but I've handled a lot of things well. How did I handle it? You're going to be there in a storm that's similar or same. How are you going to handle it? Look back at me. And then, Timothy, if all else fails, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired. It's for correction and proof. Lord, if my witness fails you, Timothy, go to the Word every time and see what the Word says. And so this is how we can create our legacy. This is how we can live our legacy. Number one is be a person that points people to Jesus. Like, Jesus left the greatest legacy for all of us. He's like, hey, this will happen in your life if you give it to the Father through me. Yeah. This is what your inheritance is. This is what the legacy is. Because you and I came to Christ, we are living on the legacy He left, that, like, we are co-heirs with Christ. We are sons of God. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are going to live an eternity with God forever. That's the legacy that Jesus left for us, and we didn't do anything to create that for ourselves. We're just living out the life. We're living out the legacy that He had, and we should always point people to Jesus. Like, we have people that are billionaires in the U.S. that they have said publicly, when I die, my children are not getting all of my money. How would you like to be those kids? Well, listen, believe me, what they are leaving them, they'll never have to work another day in their life. But what they're saying to their children is, listen, my legacy that I'm leaving you is not an inheritance. An inheritance is things. But a legacy is what I've taught you, what I've imprinted upon you, what I have influenced you, the type of person that I've created you to be. And when you look at, like, what do we really want people to have when we leave this world? I'm telling you, the greatest gift that you can ever give to your kids is Jesus and parents, our kids. And I'm talking about young people and older sons and daughters, if your parents are living, the greatest gift you can ever give back to your parents is the fact that you gave your heart to God. Yeah. I'm going to say it again. The greatest gift you can ever give your children is the fact that you pointed them to Jesus. You made them aware of Jesus. You lived Jesus out in front of them. The greatest thing that a kid could give to their parents is, Mama, I just want you to know everything's good between me and Jesus. We're tight. I'm going to make it. You ain't got to worry about me. And I'm not just waiting till I get to the other side before I live the kingdom out. I'm making a difference here on earth. That's the greatest gift. So point people to Jesus. That's the greatest legacy that we could ever have. Number two is this. Live your legacy. Don't just live an anti
life that this is what I say, but don't look at me. No, man, our kids, the greatest message we're ever going to preach to them, the greatest lesson we're going to ever teach to them is what they see and hear and experience us doing in real life. So just be a role model. You're going to be a role model anyway. You're either going to be a bad one or a good one, so choose good. Number three is this, love people well. I'm telling you, I did not realize how unwell I didn't love people until I started realizing what the kingdom is. The kingdom looks like the king. This is one of our declarations one year. Melissa, would you come? Amy, you're getting close. This was one of our declarations one year. Because I started, like, what does the kingdom mean? What is, I hear the kingdom is at hand, the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. What is the kingdom? And I heard God immediately say, well, a kingdom looks like its king. The kingdom that you're looking for looks like King Jesus. So why don't you explore who he is and you'll discover who you are. Man, that stuck with me. The kingdom looks like the king. If I want to live the kingdom out, let me explore who he is, and then I'll discover who I am because I'm created in his image. Jesus is love. If Jesus is love, I'm love. If Jesus is peace, I'm peace. Listen, if you're one of these people that you always walking around with anxiety issues and all of these, I'm not trying to come down hard on you, but I am coming down a little bit. Like, that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is a kingdom of peace. The kingdom is a kingdom of freedom. And so you got to get out of that world mindset, Babylonian mindset, and you got to get into the kingdom. So as the kingdom, as I discover who he is, I discover that God is love. And his love looked different than my love. And so I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and I begin to read love. And I go, man, if love's all those things, I probably only hit a two, maybe three of those on a good day. And I started seeing, looking at that lens of like, wow, this is where I'm falling short. And I begin to try, and I'm not perfect at it. Listen, my family's here. I can't be lying. They can call me out real fast. I'm not perfect in these things. But I'm telling you what, I feel like I love people well. Not perfectly, but I feel like I love people well. All right? So if I want to leave a legacy, I want my kids, I want my wife, I want my friends to see how I love people. And then follow me as I follow Christ. Love people like I love people. Love people like I love people, like Jesus loves people. The fourth thing is this. Talk about what life looks like after you're gone. I am not going to live forever. The first time I ever started talking that way, Savannah told me, she said, Daddy, I wish you wouldn't talk that way. And I'm like, why? I said, I don't want you to mourn and be crushed and devastated when I die. I don't know that I will die. Maybe Jesus will come and I'll be caught up in the air. Whichever way, the second one's cooler. But I want you to know I'm not going to be here forever. And I want you to know what my life looks like. Now this, I told my kids this at an early age, very young kids. I said, I want you and Noah to love each other. I want y'all to love each other. Now personally, this is probably TMI. But personally, I know they love each other, but they're not as close as I want them to be. And I'm looking forward to the day that I see that manifested. Amen. But I told them at a very early age, this is what I want my family to look like when I'm gone. Y'all are the only two that are left. I only have two. And I want y'all to love each other. I want you to be madly in love with each other. I want you to talk on the phone. I want you to open up to each other. Now, that's not happening right now. But I'm holding on to those things that are not as though they were. That's the legacy that I've painted for them. Now, whether they live it out, that's their business. But I want that to be a legacy for them. And there's other things that I would talk to them about death. And I would talk to them about how I'm excited to go to heaven. I would talk to them about like, hey, I want you to come be with me there. I've talked to them about these kinds of things. So talk about what life looks like after you're gone. That's in a spiritual sense, but I'm just telling you this. Some of y'all need to put your death plan together. You need to get your house in order because you don't need to die and then leave your kids with a bunch of mess to have to go figure it out. I'm telling you, that's a headache. It's a lot of stress, and it creates a lot of pressure. Get you an insurance plan. Figure out what you're going to. You can get some of this stuff for free online. Go get you a will so that people aren't fighting over your
crappy stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't even worth it that they're fighting over this stuff. Spell out, plan what happens after life on this side is over. And this is the last thing. Point out the potential of others. Point out the potential of others. Because sometimes people don't see it. See, what Patricia didn't know when she saw that little boy, she didn't know because she didn't grow up in my home. So she didn't know that she was talking, maybe you did know that you were talking to somebody like this. She didn't know that she was talking to somebody who was fighting a huge insecurity. Lots of sexual stuff because I had been molested for so many years. The type of verbal abuse that I endured in my home, public people would never have guessed that I would have endured that kind of verbal abuse in my home by multiple family members. So she's dealing with a very dysfunctional child. She's dealing with a very dysfunctional. She's telling me things that I'm like, I've never heard those kind of words come out of an adult's mouth about me, except people at school. I don't know what she's talking about. She's crazy. But she saw something in me, and she called it out. Little by little, she called it out. She called it out. She called it out. You can prophesy over people like that. You can prophesy over people like that. And prophecy is just a spirit of encouragement. That's the gift of encouragement. You're taking something that they probably can't see, and you pull it out, and you build people up. You lift them up and make people feel better when they walk away from you. Even when you're in Walmart, that's hard. But I promise you, make people feel better. You will change the atmosphere like that when it's tense in Walmart or any other ungodly place. You'll change the atmosphere like that by saying something edifying. Ma'am, I know you're stressed out right now, but you're holding it together really good. You're doing a really good job. I'm going to be patient with you. Just take your time. I got all the time in the world. Even though you might not, because that might be your one contact. That might be your one contact. Amen? So, Amy, come real quick. And so we're going to make this quick, I promise, sort of. And legacies are made for future generations. This has been something that has been a dream in our heart for many, many, many years. Really, almost since the inception of our church, the planning of the church, we've always dreamt of a daycare. And more than just a daycare, but this is a mini training center for the little godly hearts that are going to be there, and for us to just mildly inject Jesus into them. And I know out of the people in my life, I can count three that every time three women come to mind, they were all public school teachers that made massive impact and prophetically spoke over my life. Now, whether they knew they were doing it or not, they were doing it. And I found out the ones who spoke those things that were prophetic, whether they realized it or not, they were all Christians. And they were calling out the potential in me, calling it out. I remember Miss Kurtz, we were doing a Roaring Twenties play. And I had this one little speaking part. And she said, Rife, now my parents didn't even go to church. I didn't even find Jesus until like 7 years later. And she said, Rife, you should be a preacher one day. And I'm like, what? Are you crazy? Didn't know God. But she was prophesying over me. And she's gone to glory now. But yeah. Hey, Miss Kurtz. Point the gold out in people. Point the positive out in people. Call them higher. I know it's your worst kid in the classroom. I know it's the hardest, teenager on your job that y'all just hired. Call the gold out in people, regardless of their age. So Destiny Kids Academy, this year, we are plunging into it. And when we started doing this, this is Amy Rester, by the way. And Amy's going to head our daycare up.
Amy, what we're doing is we're taking all of our church stuff, our mission to love God, love people, improve it, and we're going to love little kids well. And then we're taking our training center vision, because the way we love people is we disciple them. We're a training center. And we call out the power and potential in people that they don't realize is there. And then we cast them forth. We empower them, and then we equip them, and then we send them out, engage them some way. We're going to start doing that with these little guys. And so it's just a mini version of what we already do. And as we were planning this, I mean, it's taken years. This has been a dream, a calling, a vision that we've had really for about 16 of our 17 years. And we just didn't know how it was going to come about, who would teach it or lead it. And we wanted people with our DNA, not just hirelings, with our DNA. Amy, how long have you been with us?
Probably about 17 years.
So the whole time?
Well, no, about 15 then.
Well, I know it's a long time. But so Amy, man, she has our DNA deeply planted, and we've imprinted on her, and so lots of influence, and she lives out our culture well. And so had no idea who was going to be a part of this vision. And Amy retired. And I don't know, I didn't even know you had a heart for this, but one day I mentioned the daycare and us praying about it or something in service, and you said?
I came to Rife later and said, I used to have a home daycare when we were military, and I would love to help you with this. And God put in my heart 40 years ago, before I was in a relationship with him, that I was going to own a daycare and operate a daycare at one point in time.
Wow. So Amy worked at AmSty, which many of you may not know what that is, but it's Alabama
Math Science Technology Initiative.
All right, so what that is she's retired now for that, but it's a division of the University of South Alabama, and it works with partners with school systems, public schools. And when Shay's still in the school system, and when I worked at Summerdale, we would have them come in with these kits, and they are supplemental type kits for math and science. And you are a mathematics teacher.
I did the science part. Yeah, but I did the science.
You did science at AmSty, but you are a math teacher. That's what your certification is in, correct?
It's in early childhood, which is everything.
So I'm telling you, she hits all the boxes. It's like tick, 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 tick. And when she told me this, I'm like, well, how are you going to do that? And like your AmSty. And she said, I'm retiring. And I'm like, wow, God just opened this up. Yeah. That the perfect person that we wanted, a Christian with our DNA, we also wanted people who were educated and certified. All of the tick boxes, man, and we didn't even know it was in the house. So sometimes when we say we don't think there's anybody in the house, sometimes we don't know where they are because God elevated this one. And then Pastor Caitlin is also going to be assisting with that ministry. Some of her job role is going to be changing. And she has, like, legal background. She has so much. She's worked at a daycare as well. So there's a lot of this kind of stuff that God has just blessed us with leadership. Now what we need you for is to help us pray the right teachers. There's typically a lot of turnover in daycares at the teacher level. But I don't want that. So I'm going to, this is what how I want you to pray with me. I'm praying that our culture is so incredible and loving and life-giving that people don't want to leave here. And we want to be able to pay our people better than the average places. And so we need the hand of the Lord on us to bless us to do that. So what we're going to do is we're starting the last week of July, correct?
Yes.
So we're opening it up the last week of July because teachers have a week of what professional development and classes and things that they're taking, planning for their year. And so we'll take their kids in and any other kids that want to come. We can house up to 52,
I believe.
So 52. Mm-hmm. We already have the building for it. So there's lots of things that God gave us. This building, we're going to be able to use that whole section over there and some of this one occasionally, but that whole section of our building over there will be the daycare.
And so now we're at the stage, we're beginning to advertise for openings with the kids. We're beginning to advertise for potential job openings. And we're preparing the building because we have to do some facility renovations and modifications to do this. And this is where we want you to begin to help us invest financially in it. All right? So I'm going to go through this really quickly. But do you have anything that you want to say towards this? I know maybe you'll give them more direction about what's going to happen outside.
I just know that when I told you what I told you that I wanted to be part of it, you said your spirit leapt in front of, in within you, and that kind of reminded me of Elizabeth and Mary is like when John leapt inside for her. And it's all been orchestrated by God, because Caitlin wasn't sure about giving up some of that to do this, and then she said God was tugging on her. So it's all, he's been orchestrating this for a long time, and it's been, I think it was 3 years before I retired that I told you this. So.
Yeah. And so we've been working behind the scenes on this for quite a bit, and we all work really well together. And I remember the day that she said that, just this feeling of, it's almost like butterflies in your stomach, how it felt, because it's like, wow, we were praying for this, and we didn't, had no clue you were even on the radar. And God had it sitting on the front row the whole time. So we're super excited about that. Now, here's how you can help us. So we're in the process now of beginning to get our list of supplies, toys, furniture that's needed. An AED is like a defibrillator if in case someone went into cardiac arrest. So all of these are kind of supplies, and there's other things, but those are the big categories. And so we're looking at about $10,000 there of supplies, and we have those marked out. As you leave here, you'll have an opportunity to go out and look at a few things, and we'll do this over the next few weeks. And then we'll even provide some Amazon links at some point, won't
yes,
we?
Yes, that's correct. We have, in the foyer, we have little pages inside here. If you want to donate, say, a puzzle, you take a piece of paper out of here and sign your name and number, and then you can put it in an offering envelope, and we can order it through the church where we don't have to pay taxes on it through Amazon, or you can order it directly. But we're not asking for you to go out and buy something different. We want what's on here. This is just minimum supplies to get us started.
Yeah. So supplies are one thing. So let me just, because we always have people that will ask us, well, I've got a little stove that I could donate. Well, if it's missing three knobs on it or whatever, take that to Goodwill. Because we are not using those kinds of things. I got this dump truck, but it's only got two wheels. It's missing the back too. Well, again, we're not using that kind of stuff. And this is a way that you could help us out with this. Now, the higher dollar figure is the $20,000 that we'll need for the outdoor playground and some renovation. There are some walls that we need to build, plumbing that needs to be installed. All that's kind of high dollar type figures. And so we're looking at roughly a total of $30,000 to get us started. Man, that is such a small amount of money when you are looking at, we're literally looking at starting a business. But look, we don't have rent. We already have a building. We've got so many things that we already have. And I want you to pray about investing into this. I really want that whole amount taken care of. I believe that that is in this house. It may not be in this room today, but it is in this house, whether people watching or they're just not here today. And I want you to pray about the legacy that our church leaves in this community. And I want you to invest in it. You can give in any amount. You can buy a $9.99 toy for, you know, four-year-olds. Or you can give $5,000 because you've just had something that God has been holding you back from, and he says, this is it. I just want you to pray. I want you to support this. And I want you to just get out there and spread the word about Destiny Kids Academy. And it's our daycare. And this is how I want you to say it. Hey, we're starting a daycare. No, don't say that. Our church is launching Destiny Kids Academy. It's a daycare where we're going to change lives of little kids. That's how I want you to say it. Hey, we're launching Destiny Kids Academy. Say it with me. Hey, we're launching Destiny Kids Academy. It's a daycare, and we're going to impact little kids' lives for Jesus. All right? And so this is where I want to leave it with you, and then we're going to pray.
Can I add something?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I just want to add, before I even knew that I was going to be part of this, and I was away at a conference last year, and God already gave me the name of it while I was at the conference, I come back, and Shay hands me a folder that says Destiny Kids Academy. I go in my notes, and I wrote Destiny Kids Academy. It was, yeah. It was not even thought of. It was already there.
Those are such cool little wonders, mm-hmm. or signs, really. They're signs. And, you know, we talk about signs and wonders, and we're looking for, like, the moon and stars to, you know, change spots or whatever. They're so small in front of our face. Pastor Wesley mentioned legacy in our staff meeting, and I'm like, you know what? Man, when you said that, I felt something on that. I said, I feel like God's going to lead us into a series about legacy. Goes perfect with our 17 years because we're talking about, you know, the legacy we want to leave. Last night I was walking out of a movie, and the guy in front of me, I'm like, what does this shirt say? And it said, leave a legacy. I'm like, Then Shay walks into my office this morning. She holds up a magazine from a financial company that we work with here at the church, and it said, leave a legacy. So those are little signs, little affirmations that God is just letting you know, hey, this is the right moment. This is the right word. This is the right now word and right now season. So in just a few minutes, you're going to be able to go out into the commons area. And we're going to have it out there at least for a couple of weeks. And you'll be able to look at things that you might want to help us purchase for the daycare. And this is what I want you to do. I really want you to pray about what God has. Don't go out there and do this. Well, I can afford this, and I'll get this, and, you know, I got a teeter-totter toy and a, you know, slinky thinky, whatever. And that's wonderful, and we appreciate. I'm asking for kingdom investors.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm asking for tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands of dollars for us to invest in the legacy that we're going to make. You do what you can do. Step out on faith. Here's the last thing, and let me share a couple of more things. Stand with me, and you can go out and look over those items. Say it with me. Legacies are left to guide the way for future generations. This is what Matthew tells us. It tells us that we're the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And no one lights that candle, no one lights that lamp, and then hides it under a clay pot. Instead, it's placed on a lampstand where it can give light to everybody in the house. Make your light shine. Make your light shine so others will see the good you do and praise your Father in heaven. Look at this last thing. You don't have to be perfect to leave a powerful legacy. If you think you have to be perfect, you're going to shrink back. Give yourself grace when you mess up. Give yourself grace when you fail. And give yourself grace so you won't believe the lie that, yeah, I messed up. I ain't got anything to offer because of that. My God, if I quit every time I missed it, I'd be quitting multiple times a week. Say it with me. You don't have to be perfect to leave a powerful legacy. So how can you take this today that I've taught you and take it out and use it for the kingdom? One, consider an area, just one area of your life, that you don't have a positive legacy right now that you're going to leave. Does everybody have an area? Or three? Or four? Or ten? Just pick one. Just pick one area that you are not going to leave a positive legacy. And then take three steps to make a positive impact in that area. Okay? This means you got to go out and work on your areas. I've got to go and work on my areas. If you don't do this, this whole message does you no good. And then here's the second way. Partner with us in the launching of Destiny Kids Academy. And you can do that when you walk out these doors. All right? So I love you. I want to pray over you. And if there's anything else you want to pray about, you can come down and our prayer team will be here to pray for you. Otherwise, go out, Be the best you can be. Prophesy over people this week without, you know, making it weird and religious. Just begin to point gold out in them. Begin to encourage them. Go out and be light to the world. Go easy on yourself, those of you who've messed up and you've been beating yourself down. Because you've got an impact. You've got a legacy that you're going to leave. Holy Spirit, I pray over my church family and I pray over my friends that are here today. I pray, God, that we didn't just waste 2 hours doing nothing of impact. But I pray, God, that what we've offered up to you blessed your heart. And I pray that what we've drank in into our spirit, that it will become part of our DNA, that it will become part of our person, that it will become part of our witness to this world. And when we get ready to go out these doors right here in just a minute, that God, when we walk out these doors, that we realize that we are powerful instruments that you can work through. And God, help us to recognize the people that you place in front of us that you want us to speak life into. Because usually it's going to be the person that's irritating us the most or the one we want to get away from the quickest. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen.